It's now time for the MLB.com Cut 4 Cast. Cut 4 Cast. The Cut 4 Cast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut 4 Cast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am back. I'm joined by Gemma Kaneko.
I don't know how you guys feel, especially after the promises we made last episode about Dakota continuing to host the
Whatever, man. I'm here. I made it back. And we also are joined by Ben Kossman.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm happy you're back. I wanted to hear all about your Disney, but our listeners, you know, I don't know how they feel.
I think they feel jealous that they were not at the most magical place on Earth. That's what I think.
That's probably.
Are you talking about spring training?
I'm sad that I'm not in spring training right now. I wish that I were. Spring training's happening right now. We're recording this on Thursday. Yesterday, we had our very first game, the Arizona Diamondbacks against GCU.
Grand Canyon University.
Yep. That was the first game. There's many more games today. And then tomorrow will be Friday. That's the first, I think, the first baseball.
Yes. Well,
official baseball.
MLB. MLB.
Yeah, right now,
MLB.
Actually, MLB. So the D-backs actually played Grand Canyon in soccer. Just yeah.
Just
for fun.
But no, this is it. Spring training is here. It's time. It's baseball is here. If you were in the studio with us right now, I would grab you by the shirt collar and shake you. Baseball is here. That's how excited I am. These two are looking at me like I'm insane.
Well, Dakota has this really interesting idea, right? Like, you think that spring training is the best time of baseball.
I do. It's not better than the postseason, but it's better than the regular season.
Wow.
An insane opinion.
It's not an insane opinion. The games don't matter, so it doesn't. Great. You don't feel sad if
Good
you
start.
Lose. Because that's
yes, that's how to care about things when they don't matter at all.
Well, it's true, though, right? You watch your team during the regular season, and you're super stressed the whole time, like, oh, and then they lose and it ruins your day and you're like, oh, I can't believe they lost. I'm gonna go. If it's a day game, you're gonna take a sad nap. If it's a night game, you're like, I'm gonna go to sleep and have nightmares about my team. Whereas in spring training, it's like, dag nub, they lost. Oh well, good thing it's Florida or Arizona and I can enjoy the beach / sunshine.
You know, the converse of this is that you're not happy when they win. You're just kind of
you're
neutral the whole time.
When they win. You're like, hey, good for my team. No, because here's the other thing. This is the other key component. All teams in spring training could win the World Series. So they win and you're like, we just won this game. We're going to totally win the World Series. This team, this is it. This is our year. So you have just boundless optimism and every win, it may not reach the same high as the wins of the regular season, but it feeds into the narrative in your mind and allows you to rationalize that this will be the year you win the World Series.
But that does not apply to the losses, is what you're saying.
Right, exactly.
Okay. All right.
It's all positive.
So willful ignorance.
No, it's like when you're a kid and you picture when you're an adult, you just only will eat cotton candy all day. That's a thing.
So it's like when I was little, I was like, oh, I'm going to be an astronaut. I definitely will be an astronaut. And that was before I learned about the height and eyesight requirements, neither of which I match. So.
And it's like that, but real.
Like, so are you saying childhood is the spring training of life?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
It,
I guess
ben,
that's what
you're
we're saying.
You're getting it. You're totally understanding it. Okay, I'm glad that we've been able to lay all this out here at the top of the show. This is how excited we all are about baseball. So we're going to talk about this all day. We have a lot of other things to get to. We're going to talk a tiny bit about Mike Piazza's Italian soccer team.
Important.
We'll get into David Ortiz's potential return to Fenway Park, but not how you're thinking. How's that for clickbait?
This is a podcast. And no one can click on it.
Pod bait.
And we will also speak to Twins beat reporter Rhett Bollinger. That is a lovely, lovely discussion. So, without further ado, let us begin. Our cut forecast.
Oh, it hadn't begun yet.
No, that was all.
That was the spring
up.
Training of this podcast.
Yeah.
Boundless optimism.
Yeah, and now this is the real thing, and it's just all downhill from here.
Yeah.
We're going to be eliminated 25 games into the season. It'll be really bad.
Crushing defeats.
Steven Matz and Sean Gilmartin of the New York Mets, not the New York Mets, the New York Mets, they went fishing. And Gemma, what happened?
Well, they went fishing specifically on an extreme fishing show.
Which is a thing.
That is definitely a thing, which I know from having worked in sports bar for a long time, is that when there are actually no sports, there's always fishing on TV. You can always find fishing on TV.
Do you count that as a sport?
Definitely not. No, it's a hobby. But
okay.
But this seemed like it took a lot of work because they went fishing and they caught some barracudas, which the fishing bros that they went fishing with refer to as cudas. Cudas.
Yeah.
But the main point of this trip was for them to catch sharks. So each of them, Matts and Gilmartin, both caught a shark.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it hard to catch a shark?
Well, it looked really hard because, so in the middle of the video, Matts has to put on like a special harness that you hook this fishing line onto. And it's a big fishing pole, but the line looks kind of, it looked just like fishing line, maybe it's slightly thicker than regular fishing line, but it did not seem to me like it would be enough to catch a shark. But however, he did catch a shark, so they catch a shark, and they reel it in, and there's one point when he's just like, oh, my arms, and he's this guy who presumably works out all off season.
Specifically his arms.
Yeah. I was just like, is this safe? what happens if the show, like, yeah. I got don't so watch, anxious.
Members of the Mets front office, yeah. Don't watch this show.
I got so anxious, because I was like, how can this line hold the shark? He's pulling on it. He's like, oh, this is so hard, and he is a very strong man.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what if the shark gets you instead?
Ooh, the shark catches you.
Yeah. Did they shoot it with a barrel, and then they were like, it can't go down with three barrels, not with three, and then it went under the boat? Did that happen?
It was not Jaws. That did not happen.
that's the only reason to go sharking.
How big was this shark?
It was pretty big.
Can you compare it to a major leaguer?
It was like,
was it one Altuve?
It was definitely multiple Altuve.
Wow. Was it a Randy Johnson?
I feel like it's one and a half Randy Johnsons.
Wow.
One and a half Randy Johnsons?
It was a big
what?
Shark. Sean Gilmartin's shark was like slightly smaller, but the one that Steven Matz got was really big, but they catch them and then release them. So the whole point is like he got the shark,
well,
and
that's good.
Pulled up on the side, and then they took a picture and then they let the shark
Do people out. Eat sharks?
Yes, people do eat sharks.
Really?
But not Steven Matz.
Good for them.
They did. There is a picture in the video where they have just like a barracuda head. Just hanging out on a line.
What do you eat with sharks?
Shark tacos.
Shark fin soup?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I made mine.
Is there a sandwich? Like a shark sandwich?
I don't know.
Shark fillet.
Isn't that a Spinal Tap album? Shark sandwich? I think it is.
I mean, it just seems like a really intense hobby to me. I don't know. Of off season. I guess it's not off season anymore, but those activities.
It is super intense.
Yeah.
Are they fit? Do they fish normally?
I would assume they do. A lot of major leaguers like fishing, but generally, I know a lot of guys do the thing where you stick your arm in the catfish hole and pull out a catfish.
Noodling.
Yeah, what? That thing. Noodling.
What? Yeah. That's a thing.
Yeah. What you do is you reach in and the fish bites your hand and then you just pull it right out.
Yeah, and they're big too. Yeah. They're really big.
All right.
So I know a lot of people like to do that. So I'm not really surprised that these guys would go fishing.
I'm from the South. Yeah, I know what noodling
is. I'll trust you on that one.
But like, this seems like a workout. I don't know. Is this a workout that... Would you guys do it? Would you go shark fishing?
As a workout? No.
It seems like it was very strenuous.
There are ways of working out that do not involve getting eaten by sharks.
Well, no one got eaten.
Well, yeah, but there was a non-zero chance somebody was going to get eaten. If I go running, I'm not going to get eaten by a shark. So I would not do it as a workout.
That's true. Would you go shark fishing with your favorite baseball players?
That I would do.
Is this the only way I can hang out with them?
Yes. Yeah.
Then I guess so.
Yeah. You and Joe Mauer.
Yeah, me and Joe Mauer will go shark fishing.
Ben, do you think just fishing in general, do you think fishing is a sport?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
I could be persuaded.
How would it be a sport?
Only if you wrestle it from the sea.
It involves some athleticism, right? As you have demonstrated with the whole shark.
Well, let's separate. Shark fishing is different than fishing.
I've fished, and you know, you have to. You know, the cast is a thing, right? Yeah. So, like, I've been fly fishing, that is. It's all about like make sure you cast in the right way and tending the line, stuff like that. That's, you know, that's very like, it's kind of like pitching, and that it's sort of an art that people think of more as like, I don't know. I could be persuaded.
My rule is if you don't break a sweat doing it, it's not a sport.
Well, he definitely broke a sweat.
Man, right. This is
also you're sitting shark out wrestling. In a boat in the sun. You're probably gonna sweat.
It seemed very strenuous, and I was very anxious for him.
And if you're really nervous and you're playing chess, you'll probably sweat. And I would assume you don't think chess is a sport.
Well,
I could probably be convinced that chess is a sport over fishing.
Yeah, you have to press the timer.
Over fishing, yeah.
These are all terrible takes.
Like, you can beat an opponent in chess, which you can't do in fishing. Like, it's not like team fish. Like, oh, who's gonna win the fishing World Cup? The fish or this guy? Like,
golf, you don't compete against other golfers.
Well, you know, I don't think
golf's not a sport.
Yeah, golf is a hobby.
The thing about fishing, though, is that it's...
This is at Gemma Kaneko. Ben is not on Twitter, so you can't send him angry tweets.
That's right, trolls.
Okay, let's move on here, because there's this other thing we need to talk about. As you know, the Cut Forecast, in addition to being a podcast about fishing and baseball, in that order, is a podcast about soccer.
Ah, yes.
And I don't know if you
My
know
favorite
this.
Part.
New York Mets, Los Angeles Dodgers... Florida Marlins legend Mike Piazza purchased an Italian soccer team in June of last year. It was a month before he was inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. The New York Times caught up with him this week to see how it was going. Ben, how's it going?
It's going very well. Piazza seems to be really enjoying himself owning an Italian soccer team. He is learning Italian. I'm assuming he may have known Italian, but he's, you know, taking lessons, brushing up. He is ingratiating himself with the fans. He comments on fan-run Facebook pages, which I just love to imagine. Mike Piazza just sitting on his couch, checking out what the fans are saying about his team and commenting and liking things, liking the memes.
I would definitely melt down if Mike Piazza liked my comment about soccer.
Yes.
I'd be like, oh my gosh, I must be on the right track.
But he's having a good time. He loves my favorite part. The most endearing part of this is that he said his second favorite part of owning the team is owning it in Italy with all the cured meats.
That is true.
It is
cured
true.
Meats are really good. Also, if you're curious, this is the third tier of Italian soccer. The team is AC Reggiana 1919.
Yes.
Often the number is the year it was founded. So if you're curious, that's kind of a soccer thing. Is this the best baseball-related soccer team? Because there's also, I want to say, AZ Alkmaar in like Norway, which Billy Bean of Oakland Athletics fame is like a special consultant to.
Doesn't John Henry own Liverpool?
John Henry owns Liverpool. My favorite team.
Sigh. You shouldn't have even given him that opening.
So, Ben, I'm glad you asked. My choice.
I immediately regret this.
Mike Piazza's team is the best team because, as you can read in the article, it's like most of it is just about talking to people and having a great time and eating all the food.
Yeah,
that's
like,
true.
When someone asked him why he didn't do something related to MLS, it's like, I'm going to eat. I want to eat Italian food.
Yeah.
reasonable.
Okay, if you had to eat only the cuisine of the country's soccer team that you bought, which country would you buy a soccer team within? Essentially, this is a very complicated way of saying what's your favorite food, but we're going to frame it this way.
I'm going to go Mexico.
They have good soccer culture there.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I'll just eat burritos and tacos.
That's
hard because I feel like I would want to go like Brazil, Venezuela, something like that. But then again, I like Japanese food a lot. Yeah. Japanese soccer culture is fun, but
I don't know anything about Japanese soccer culture.
That's the thing. It's like not as vibrant as other countries. And my immediate thought was, you know, like I'll just buy PSG.
Yeah, that was my answer is France.
France forever. But
what is French food?
What do you mean,
what is French food? What is French food?
What
is French cuisine?
Are you kidding?
No. Give me an example. Besides chicken cordon bleu.
French onion soup.
French onion soup.
The thing when you put the pig, cassoulet.
Cassoulet.
You're saying words that I don't know. What are these dishes?
Duck confit, yeah.
What are these dishes? Snails?
Lobster thermidor?
Ben, if you've ever eaten in a nice restaurant, it is either French or French. Yes, the French.
Well, I have not, so...
God,
we need to kick him off.
We need to take you out. You want to kick him off? I want to take him out to dinner.
No, I'm not paying for him to eat food.
No,
I'll eat French food. I just don't believe it exists.
That's insane. That's an insane. Have you never seen a cooking show in your life?
French food is the best food.
Do you know?
They're just cooking other
foods.
I don't. Yeah, but she's cooking. She's American, isn't she?
Oh my god.
I can't even deal with this. We need to go back to talking about Mike Piazza.
This is infuriating. We need to all buy jerseys for AC Reggiana 1919. However, I think that is the way we need to show our support.
I like those kits. They're fun colors.
They are. Most Italian soccer teams have fun jerseys.
Do they
call
have Mike Piazza's face on them?
No, but they should.
I would like to buy that.
They should. But before we move on, I just have to take a moment to tell you guys about pretty great podcast here on the MLB Podcast Network. It's called the StatCast Podcast. It's a show dedicated to the analytics that drive front office decisions in the modern game. It's hosted by our friends Mike Petriello and Matt Myers. And on this week's show, they talk about Eric Hosmer, your Hos, but yes, a different Hos. This is the real Hos. Eric Hosmer's forthcoming contract. Will it be a mega contract? I don't know. Listen to the StatCast podcast. They're also going to talk about how StatCast can better measure first base defense, which is important in discussing the mega contract of Eric Hosmer. You can download it on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcast by searching for StatCast podcast or by going to www.statcastpodcast.com. Did you know that David Ortiz is no longer in Major League Baseball?
I'd heard a rumor about that.
Did that hurt you to say that sentence?
Look, you know, I'm saying it a lot so that I can, like, take it in and understand it and believe it because I'm still in the denial phase.
He looked like he was having a great spring training, by which I mean chilling on a beach.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, he's, like, top five people you want to chill on a beach with.
Yes.
Just, let's
I would
be
go
honest.
Shark fishing with David Ortiz.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah. 100%. But he apparently might be coming back to Fenway Park. In what capacity? Is he going to be the DH? Will they trot him out to be the first baseman of the Boston Red Sox, a role he filled well in their three World Series championships in his time there? No. No. Instead, he may be a guest broadcaster for the team. Oh, gotcha! Oh! But the reason why I'm joking about this is because it really makes me cry thinking about this team without David Ortiz. Are you guys excited to hear what broadcaster Poppy is like?
Of course.
I am most excited. Okay, yes, I am excited to hear what he's like, but I'm also excited to see what he's going to wear, because when he did World Series broadcasting a couple years ago, I've never seen shoes that simultaneously looked that dangerous and also amazing. Just no matter what, because everybody has just like your collared polo shirts, whatever. He is going to really up broadcast fashion, and that is sorely needed.
That's true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's really true.
Now, ideally, the perfect broadcast team, this would have to be for some kind of postseason game, would be David Ortiz and Chris Archer, right?
Yeah.
Super
cool guys.
You left off Pedro Martinez.
Oh, yeah. Pedro is also great. I would, and A-Rod. That, you know what,
wow,
that's what it is.
That's a foursome
developed
right there.
But, you know, Chris Archer is still an active player, so I don't want to wish that his team does not make it to the postseason purely so that he can be in the awesome booth that I've just created with Poppy, Pedro, and
that
A-Rod.
Is sad, though, right? Yeah. There is, like, a tiny part of you that cheers for that team to fail just because you like seeing him in the postseason. I don't know. It's on the broadcast. He is really good. That team, imagine that broadcast team was a real team. That real team would be really good.
Yeah. It would be so good.
I'm pretty sure right now they would still be really good. We need to make that happen.
They should play some kind of I don't know, broadcasters versus whippersnappers.
I think we've talked about this before, but in addition to there needing to be an MLB Seniors League, there should be, when you win the World Series, you have to play like the great baseball players of all time. Like they come in through the aisle and walk out onto the field. It's like, now you must beat David Ortiz and A-Rod and Pedro Martinez. That'd be great.
That would be great.
That would be fun.
So are you excited for Poppy to be in the booth?
I feel conflicted about David Ortiz being in the booth, because on the one hand, yes, he will be an incredible broadcaster. I think it was Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports made this point, but as long as he can make sure not to be profaned, which may be difficult, he will be a remarkable broadcaster. But I'm still not ready to accept non-baseball player David Ortiz. So it will be weird hearing him talk while I watch the Red Sox. That will be weird and disorienting. And I don't like feeling disoriented while I watch baseball.
Maybe there should be like an optional commentary track for all Red Sox games, so then he could be profane. Because I would honestly enjoy
R-rated.
That.
That's a really good idea.
If he could just let loose. It doesn't have to be R-rated, but since I'm pretty sure he might just let a couple of words that aren't family friendly slip out, you could just let that be. You wouldn't have to pressure him not to do that.
What do you think is his home run call is going to be?
That's a good question. I mean,
that's good, but it's not an Ortiz dinger.
I was gonna say, to some degree, it has to be like, yeah,
not bad.
Yeah.
I get it's out. I'll give him that.
You know? I hope it's that. I hope it is very petty. That is my hope.
He seems to like everybody on the team, though, so I don't think he would put them down.
Yeah.
It's not like there's like a secret enemy.
It would be out of love, but you know.
Wouldn't it be great if he just started telling random like secret stories about them when they came up to bat? Because so we had this other story on Cut 4 about a kid who was taking some BP with his dad and hit a moving car with a home run.
Yeah.
Great story. Hilarious. But his dad, who I spoke to on the phone, was like, oh, he doesn't want me to tell you this, but, you know, this is supposed to be a line drives drill. So I wonder if that would be the moment. You know, someone comes up and Poppy's like, well, Jackie doesn't want me to tell you this, but he's supposed to be adjusting his swing here a little bit, and that's why that was a ground ball. Like, just, you know, secret.
Mookie actually wishes he was a pitcher.
Yeah.
He hates this. Yeah. That would be really great. We definitely need secret stories about
inside,
the Boston Red
Sox. Inside,
is there a player that you guys wish would be in the broadcast booth? Maybe a favorite player of yours, since David Ortiz is a favorite player of mine.
Hard.
Gemma, do you have one?
I mean, it's hard to say, because generally they tend, the players that I really want to hear about are active players, you know?
Yeah.
Because I want it to be like Poppy. I want them to be like really close to the game. And have the kind of vibrant personality that mm-hmm. he has, you know. So I'm trying to think of who's recently retired that kind of fits into
that.
They
don't have to be retired yet. Yeah. It can be a current player.
They don't have to be
retired.
Want.
David Ortiz is definitely not retired and will play for the Red Sox this year. So says my subconscious.
Well, you know, as you'll hear a little bit later in this podcast, we talked about the Twins a lot today, and it really just does seem that someone should be offering Phil Hughes a broadcast job.
Interesting you say that.
Yeah.
Ben, do you have a choice?
I really want to hear Tim Lincecum call a game.
Call
a game. Just him
play
alone.
Play
in the
like Vin Scully style.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I'm in.
Because I don't know what that would be. I have no idea what to expect, and I'm into it. I'm here for it.
You know who I've enjoyed listening to in interviews, like when they do, they're like, oh, now joining us for half of an inning, is Pudge. I like Pudge.
Oh, yeah.
Pudge is good. Hall of Famer Pudge.
Maybe I'll make him the on-the-field guy in my epic broadcast team.
Oh, my God.
That's good.
Yeah.
And they can still be the best, like, actual team.
They needed a catcher, so.
They did need a catcher.
I mean, I'd love to hear Randy Johnson.
Yes.
He has that deep, sonorous voice.
That's
I would love to hear.
Yes.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Phil Hughes, because, hey, you guys spoke to Rhett Bollinger.
We did.
Yeah.
That was a lovely conversation. Let us take a listen right now.
Thank you so much to Rhett Bollinger for joining us. He is the Twins beat reporter for MLB.com, and currently you're at spring training, which is so much nicer than where we are right now. How is it there?
Spring training is awesome. I'm sitting here in the press box here in Fort Myers. It's beautiful outside, about like 75 degrees. Couldn't be any better out here in Fort Myers with the home of the Twins.
So what's the most exciting part of spring training? Is it seeing people that you haven't seen for a long time? Is it the potential in the air? What is it that's the most thrilling thing?
I think it's a great question. I think the big thing is just the optimism I think that it brings. I think the fact that even when the Twins lose, you know, 103 games last year, there's still excitement here, you know, not only from the players, but from the fans as well. For me, it's always cool, too, just to see the fans interact with the players as much as they do. You know, during the season, obviously, you know, players can sign autographs and that kind of stuff. But really here, though, it's cool because the Twins are pretty wide open, and there's fans coming up to players all the time in between workouts and signing for them. And the access is so cool for the fans. I was excited to see the fans get excited. And, you know, that's kind of the lifeblood of baseball, is the fans are kind of the whole thing. And I think it's fun to see them. But as a reporter, that was fun to see all the other reporters I know down here as well, and the players and, you know, the new front office. I mean, it's just always an exciting time because, you know, the real season is so close around the corner here.
So is there a player that we should be paying more attention to this year that has stood out to you so far? I mean, I know things haven't been games are just kind of starting now, but is there anyone who's really catching your attention?
Well, you always pay attention to Ryan O'Rourke and his throwing up before he goes into the game in the bullpen.
Yeah.
But in terms of actual, like, in terms of players that could break out, that kind of stuff, I think the big guy we should pay attention to, and I know we've done it a lot in the past because he's been a prospect, but I really think that Byron Buxton could become a star this year. I mean, he's so amazing just athletically. Defensively, he's such a great center fielder and a great base runner with the speed. If he can do anything offensively this year, it's fun to watch. You know, I love StatCast, so it's fun to see all of his crazy home-to-third and home-to-home and home-to-first times and all that kind of stuff. He's not exactly a surprise he could be a breakout guy, but to me, he's kind of going to be the guy that's going to kind of have the engine to make this team go.
So is this the year for Byron Buxton's breakout?
I think so. I think September was definitely kind of an indicator that he's starting to figure things out. I think that it's nice here to have Torii Hunter in camp, too, for a lot of reasons. Torii's obviously hilarious and dancing around always and having a great time and being Torii Hunter. But big thing, too, he's a great mentor to a guy like Byron. to help him out, just for the mental side of baseball too. You forget that, you know, Byron's got incredible, you know, athletic gifts, but a lot of it too, especially offensively, is kind of putting it together mentally, and, you know, not putting too much pressure on yourself and worrying too much about your mechanics, that kind of stuff, and just going out there and playing and being loose. And I think that Torrey being around here definitely keeps everybody pretty darn loose.
Yeah, it always seems like Torrey's having so much fun. I feel like every video I see of him is just like, let's do dance moves in the clubhouse. Like, let's like play around in batting cage. It looks like a great time. Is there just a, what is the looseness like? What is the atmosphere like in the clubhouse, spring training versus regular season?
A little bit more loose for sure. I think the big thing too is just the music's always kind of going more here too. Mm-hmm. During the season though too, they have the pregame, they'll put their music on the clubhouse as well. But here, you know, Torrey, like I said, definitely keeps it loose. I got videos on Twitter the other day of him just dancing around behind the cage, you know. The big thing too this year is different is like when they take BP, before they just take BP and there's no music, you know, he brought his own like little jam box or beat box, whatever you want to call it, like to have his own music out there. So listen to rap and they're having a great time and he's doing like dances and he's putting with Michael Jackson and doing the moonwalk while guys are taking BP and all the guys back there behind the cage are just laughing with him. But at the same time, you know, he's obviously offering, you know, real pointers and everything else too, whether it's mechanics or tells from other pitchers, that kind of stuff. I mean, he's just got so much knowledge, but on top of it, he keeps it so loose because I think he knows when the Twins are really good, you know, when he was with the Twins, they had a fun clubhouse, you know, with him and a lot of those guys that kind of won those division titles in the 2000s. I think he kind of knows. You know, even when he was on the Twins a couple of years ago, the one year they had where they were above 500 in the last 6 years, he was on the team and it was dance parties after every win. Yeah. So Torrey Hunter and dancing definitely go hand in hand.
I would definitely watch an entire video series that was hitting clinic plus dance lessons. If somehow those could be combined into one instructional series, I think that would be a great hit.
I think it happened. I think, you know, keeps you loose, keeps you flexible, you know, dance around, gets you, yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Is there any particular song that gets played a lot? Do the Twins have a specific song that they all like?
It's a good question. This year, I haven't noticed one sticking out as much. In the past, I know they were big Prince fans, which is obviously fitting because we're Minnesotans and we love our Prince. So a lot of Little Red Corvette is Torrey's favorite song. So when Torrey's on the Twins, that was always kind of the theme song. They're always playing that. And Torrey, even when he's on the Twins a couple years ago, would make a different player sing the lyrics to it on the bus ride to the game every day. So whenever they're on the road, they have to sing a Little Red Corvette. And so sometimes they record it, you'd see the video of it. And I think there was one that was online of a couple of the Latin guys, too, trying to sing it, like Eduardo Escobar. And it was bad. But it's pretty darn funny. But, yeah, so far this camp, I haven't heard, like, a consistent a song as much. Because guys kind of take their, you know, kind of take over because the music system and the clubhouse, at least, can be controlled by, you know, an iPhone. Mm-hmm. Some guys, you can tell, it's, you know, Trevor May's doing this can be more into, like, the kind of more, like, trance or dance like kind of music. But if it's, you know, Brian Dozier, you're going to get country music. Torrey, you might get a little bit more of the, you know, Michael Jackson or, you know, hip-hop or R&B. So it just kind of depends on the guy's taste. But I do know in the past that Little Red Corvette was kind of the theme song on the Twins.
I think that I love that choice. I'm a big Prince fan. And I also am very pro team bonding by having to sing the same song a lot. That's really exciting. Good for Torrey. Are the other Twins good dancers?
That's a good question. And I know at the end of a couple of years ago, Torrey did the award show where he actually gave guys awards for their dance skills. From what I've heard, I know that that Brian Dozier's got some moves. Byron Buxton's obviously got some moves. He's so athletic. I've heard Kyle Gibson being 6'6" and kind of lanky doesn't really have the moves. He just kind of awkwardly moves his bodies and his limbs a little bit, and players kind of make fun of him for it. Glenn Perkins, the closer, is obviously got a little injury now, but in general, I heard he wasn't exactly the best dancer. He was more apt to kind of just watch and kind of be like, what are these guys doing as a veteran? But you know what? It's funny. I heard Joe Mauer's got surprisingly good moves.
Really?
Yeah. I heard Joe can actually dance out there. And Joe's an interesting guy because he's so quiet and he's so, like, hard to get to know in some ways. But Joe's really into music. And Joe, you know, at one point, the big story was he had his own rap studio in his house and that kind of stuff. So Joe's into the music. Like I said, I heard they put in the dance music and he'd come in and surprise everybody with his moves. So, it doesn't, you know, make sense. Joe's a great athlete too and all that, but it's always funny when you hear a quiet guy. It's always a quiet guy that you got to watch out for. And sure enough, Joe's the quiet one who comes in and he's got the moves.
You just told me the greatest piece of Twins trivia that I've ever heard in my life, which is that Joe Mauer has a rap studio in his house.
I don't know if he still does, but that was a rumor for a long time, was that at least in his old place, he had a rap studio in his home. And I would love to. I'd be the greatest story of all time if you could actually get audio of Joe rapping. And I don't know if, like, how much he did that himself, or like he'd go in and do his own beats, or what exactly he would do with that. But the fact that that existed and the fact that it could be audio of Joe Mauer rapping in a studio really is something that the world needs to hear.
You have just given me a new, two life goals. One is to find this audio and give it to the world. And the other is to get Joe Mauer to come on the podcast and freestyle.
And that'd be awesome. That'd be definitely something that we'd definitely fans would definitely enjoy a different side of Joe Mauer, that'd be for sure.
This is so amazing. All right, my last question before I hand you over to Ben is, so I know that in the past the twins have been really into bonding via watching The Bachelor. That's sort of in its last episodes this season of The Bachelor. Is that still something that's popular with the team?
Yeah, definitely. Phil Hughes kind of leads that charge. Hughes is definitely a jokester, so I really forgot to follow in general, too. His Twitter account's great. I mean, he also sent a photo the other day of Ryan O'Rourke. Obviously, talked about his throwing up before every time he goes into the game. He sent a photo of Ryan O'Rourke on his Twitter feed and said, like, do not throw up on me. And, like, he's just a character. But, Phil Hughes, you know, tweeted about all the episodes, and he's got his favorites. And, him and Brian Dozier are two of the ringleaders on that show for sure. I haven't heard yet if they're going to do any watch parties. But I know last year that was a fun thing where, it was when Plouffe was on the team as well, but Dozier and Plouffe and Hughes kind of hosted these watch parties. And they even brought Byung-ho Park over. And Park was very confused by what the heck was going on because he's, in Korea, they don't have reality shows quite like that.
So, right.
He got a kick out of it. But, I know for a fact some of those guys definitely do watch it. I haven't seen it as much as a team bonding thing yet, but I definitely am assuming that once the finale in the last few weeks here, they're going to have to be watching it together down here in spring training.
I think I would also watch a Facebook Live of them watching it.
Yeah, honestly, that'd be great.
Or maybe
last
just...
time, Phil loves to live tweet it, but he'd better see some video and some audio.
Yes, this is essential. I think you should try to persuade them to do this.
I think it's a good idea.
All right, I'm going to hand you over to Ben, who is our resident Twins fan.
I'm very excited to ask you all the questions I have about the Twins, so I hope you're ready.
Absolutely, definitely ready.
I have to start with the Ryan O'Rourke story, though, because it is just fascinating to me. And I guess it broke yesterday or this week, but did you know about this during the season? Was this a thing?
I didn't know during the season. I had heard someone had mentioned to me at Twins Fest that kind of jokingly that, oh, yeah, I could be like O'Rourke. He's always throwing up in the bullpen. And I thought it was kind of a joke. I didn't really, investigate it too deeply. And then, sure enough, Dustin Morris, who's the Twins PR guy, his big thing this spring has been doing all these did-you-know things where he'll put out, did you know, and blah, 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 this player did that. Or some of it's, personal things. Some guys, did you know that so-and-so grew up in this area, blah, blah, blah. But this one was pretty interesting. But did you know that Ryan O'Rourke throws up before every one of his outings?
Were you just always wondering why the bullpen smells like vomit?
Yeah, I don't have so much time out there in the bullpen. But, yeah, I don't know. And I'd love to know. I got to ask Ryan exactly where he goes. From what I heard, it's someone was going to a private area, by a trash can or by a bathroom. So, obviously, he doesn't want the fans to see him do it. It's not like he just does it right there on the spot. But it is pretty hilarious to hear that he did that. But I guess he was trying to compare it to Bill Russell because Bill Russell, obviously, the great Celtics great, was famous, I guess, for throwing up before big matches. And he's from the Boston area, too. So I think maybe it's in his Boston blood. He's just like Bill Russell.
Yeah. I think O'Rourke said he's been doing it since high school. So, probably probably an impressionable teenager in Boston.
Yeah, exactly.
But what I have to ask you, is this the weirdest player ritual you've encountered? Are there weirder ones? Are there things on this level?
That's probably the weirdest one in terms of, an every time thing. Sometimes you hear about guys who get nervous and that kind of thing, but... And here, superstitions. The big one I used to know about was, I know about now, but used to be a former twin, Justin Morneau, was definitely superstitious. He had, certain times he had to do everything before the game. And, even when he put, he ate the same meal. It was always chicken, kind of like Wade Boggs in a sense. But also the thing was, too, is that he had to have everything, had to have the number three in it. So when he would, report, to the field, it had to be, 4-13, whatever it was. It had to be on the three. And so even when he put, his food in the microwave at Target Field, and he put it in for 3-3-3 and press the button and then take it out, a minute and 20 seconds later or whatever it be. But he always had to have three in every, thing he did, which was kind of interesting. He was kind of the one that we were, but in terms of, physically, I've never heard of anybody else in baseball doing that, at least not admitting it, that they do that before every time they come to a game.
True. There's probably a lot of secret vomiters in baseball. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? We'll get to the bottom of it.
Speaking of Morneau, though, I was going to ask you, this is, you know, less barfy, more serious. I know the Twins were talking about over the offseason bringing in a veteran presence. I think they even mentioned Morneau's name a couple times, or he was mentioned a couple times. And you have him and, you know, Johan Santana, who's also trying to make a comeback. And I'm thinking, should the Twins do a 2006 reunion with the three of them, or the two of them and Mauer? And I'm sure there's a couple other players around the league.
They definitely are kind of already bringing that band back together, in a sense. They have, you know, Torrey Hunter here in camp, and Michael Kadire here in camp, and LaTroy Hawkins here in camp as guys that, you know, are instructors / assistant GMs now under the new regime. I thought Morneau made a little bit of sense. You know, I know that he was definitely mentioned as a candidate to sign with the Twins. Could be a DH, but at this point, I think it's probably a little too late. I mean, I know that they've got Kenny Vargas, who they like a lot. Gunnlo Park is still on the roster after he didn't get claimed. You know, Johan, same thing. Even in the past, he's been linked with the Twins on the comebacks, even with one of the Orioles a couple years ago. I don't think it probably makes too much sense. But I do know that the Twins would love to have those guys back as instructors, that kind of stuff, the way that they do with, you know, Hunter and Kadire and Hawkins. I just don't really see a fit probably otherwise with those guys getting back. But, you know, those are great Twins teams, and they certainly have a place in history, and certainly fans would love to see those guys around the organization again.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem like the Twins are more about the future now, because you have guys like Max Kepler, mm-hmm. Who I'm wondering, are players picking up any German from Max Kepler?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I think because Max, still the thing about him, obviously being like, his mom's American, so his English, he sounds so American anyway. Like, he doesn't even have an accent or anything. You kind of forget sometimes he's even from Germany. But I do think guys maybe know a little bit some of his terms. And just like guys know some Korean because of Young Ho. And, you know, and some guys try to learn those languages. But I don't see too many guys joke with him in German too often. But it would be pretty good gag if some of these guys learn a little bit more of it.
Yeah, I think the Twins actually tweeted a video of players going through some German vocabulary. But
that's awesome. Yeah, I know the Twins love to tweet out stuff in German, wish them happy birthday in German, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I definitely find that play, you know, so rare to have a German foreign player who's actually really, you know, from there to be on the team. Is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. I hope he has a good season, because he had a good season last year.
He did, yeah. He definitely did.
All right, I have some, these are more rapid-fire questions for you.
Sure.
Is Phil Hughes secretly the best tweeter in MLB?
I think so. That's what I was saying earlier. I think he is. I think he's really underrated. I think he's hilarious. His A-Rod tweets are always great. His Yankees tweets. He even has tweets that he doesn't send out that he'll sometimes show us because they're a little riskier. Doesn't want to get in trouble. But, yeah, I think he's as good as it gets in terms of tweeting in baseball.
Wow. So you've seen Phil Hughes' drafts folder.
He showed me a tweet that was related to, yes, this year. He showed me one in the spring training. It was very funny that he did not use. He did not want to get in any trouble, but it wasn't anything bad. It was just kind of relating to an episode with a former team that he had a funny take on that he decided not to do. But he loves to do Photoshops, is a big thing too. This was a Photoshop photo that I saw. It was pretty darn funny.
I would love to see some Phil Hughes Photoshops.
Yeah, he's talented.
It's good to know that he has a filter, though. I guess that's good.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of time on his hands after practice, apparently.
Yes. And so you mentioned this earlier. Is this the year we finally see, or not finally, but is this year we see Byron Buxton challenge Billy Hamilton as baseball's fastest player?
I think so. I mean, I think that Buxton, I'd love to see him in a race, that's for sure. I think they're very comparable in terms of speed. I think Trey Turner and Washington, too, is you know, kind of up there as well. But I think that you look at StatCast, Buxton owns, you know, a lot of those records in terms of getting, you know, home to home and home to third and that kind of stuff. And Hamilton has that advantage. He's a switch hitter, but, you know, coming, you know, batting left-handed, you're going to be closer to first base, obviously, and Buxton's a right-handed hitter. But, yeah, I think that Buxton's as fast as anybody in the majors.
So would you take Byron Buxton in a race over Hamilton?
Yeah, I think, I probably would. I think it would be very close. And I'd have to kind of talk with Byron and see what he's more, if he's better at the short races or if he's better at getting around the bases quicker. I don't know about acceleration in terms of, you know, home to first, but I think that in general, overall, especially over a long haul, I think Byron's a little faster.
Well, hopefully we see that this year. And
yeah, absolutely. He's definitely got speed.
Now, you mentioned the rap studio. Joe Mauer, I have to ask, what does Joe Mauer do in his free time? Does he just go home and rap after games?
I'd love to think that he does. That'd be great. I think now his life's obviously changed a little bit. He's got his two little twins and his wife. You know, I think in the past, you know, he spent a lot of the off season in Fort Myers too, down here, and you know, obviously better weather, easier to train down here, that kind of thing. Also, to stay out of, you know, in Minnesota, he's obviously so popular and such a famous person there that somebody was tough to even go to the grocery store, you know, whereas down here a little bit more anonymous. But being back, now that he has the twins, you know, he has got the girls up there. He spends most of his offseason now in Minnesota with his family. So I think he's kind of a family guy now. I know he likes to golf sometimes. He definitely likes to fish, that kind of stuff. Typical Minnesota in terms of outdoor activities and all that. But yeah, I'd love to, you know, in the spare time, I'd love to think that he's still out there cranking out rap music, because we know that Jones had the same exact key. What you know about that, you know, walk-up music for the last, what's been 10 years now at least. So he hasn't done anything since that in a long time. But, yeah, it's pretty funny.
All right, and I have one last question, and it's probably the most important question anyone's going to ask you today. Will Joe Mauer bring the beard back for April?
I feel like it's almost too late at this point, but he could. I mean, I know that it's kind of, you know, get to that playoff hockey beard. You know, he's a big Wild fan, and the Minnesota Wild are in first place in the West from what everyone tells me. I'm not a huge hockey fan, but yeah, I mean, I think that he could. I think it might take a little bit of work, though, because right now he doesn't have it, and I don't know how quickly he can grow one. I don't know how, you know, I'll have to ask him. I think last time was kind of the whole winter he kind of let it go. But it was, yeah, Bearded Joe was definitely kind of like I thought it would have been cool if he had got a beard, maybe like became like a villain or something like that.
Yeah.
He was such a nice guy. I thought it would have been cool if he would have went like to the dark side or something cool. But he was still the same old nice Joe. I think the big thing this year will be obviously health and all that. But, yeah, Joe's definitely a nice guy, and I'd love to know more about his rapping skills.
Yes, we all do, I think. And that's it. I think we're all set. Thank you so much for talking to us, Rhett.
No problem.
Hope you enjoy spring training. Hope you track down that Joe Mauer rap audio. And we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on. I had a lot of fun.
So apparently another great broadcaster, Joe Mauer.
Can we talk about how we need to get Joe Mauer to freestyle for us?
I can't.
This piece of news is the most incredible thing I've ever learned about any baseball player.
Yes.
It is kind of shocking. I think we're breaking some news here on the Cut Forecast that will vibrate internationally.
But really, all of the Twins sound like such fun guys.
I know. It does seem like a really fun team.
Can you? I mean, we can't do it, but maybe one day we should all sing Little Red Corvette together.
Ooh, yeah. No singing. There will be no singing.
I would like to hear
forecast.
The Twins sing that song.
I would like to hear that too. I want to hear Max Kepler do it.
Yes, in German.
Yes, in German.
Oh yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I like that. Unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because I can see the look on your faces. You guys know what's about to happen. It's time to summarize the podcast in 140 characters, one tweet that accurately and adequately summarizes our podcast in one bite-sized chunk. Ben.
Oh, no.
Since you are here, I'm going to make you go first.
Okay. Well, I'm opening up my Twitter box and getting ready to tweet.
Yeah, it sounds like you've ever been on the internet before. Let me open the Twitter box.
I don't
want
to know this about Ben. Ben is actually 95 years old.
Yeah.
It's his first
Benjamin
tweet.
I'm Buttoning. That's why my name is Ben.
Oh my god.
You're banned from the Cut Forecast.
I'm Benjamin Button Cosman.
I've let you stall long enough. Give us a tweet.
Tim Lincecum narrating my shark fishing is going well. Now I'm going to eat some imaginary French food. # not a thing. # fake news.
So that was like a tweet storm.
This is why you're not on Twitter, obviously. You're doing the world a favor by staying away from Twitter.
Well, you know what? Twitter wishes it had my tweets.
No.
Gemma,
what is your 140 character missive?
Epic broadcast team, : Poppy, Pedro, A-Rod, Phil Hughes, Pudge. And then I guess I would just link to the podcast and also do # Joe Mauer's secret rap studio.
I fell asleep in the middle of your tweet. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah,
you managed to make the most epic broadcast team of all time boring.
It was not my best work.
No, you're blocked.
Yeah.
My tweet.
Blocked.
You're blocked. My tweet.
Reported for spam.
Here's my tweet. A Cut Forecast summary, : Mets went fishing. Mike Piazza wants charcuterie. Ben doesn't think French food is real. I like French food.
I can't believe that
French
you just...
food, period. Hashtag, I am hungry.
That was like 17 tweets. And if Ben's is a tweet storm, yours is absolutely a tweet storm. All of us should get offline because that was just a miserable job for all three of us.
If you have a hashtag, not a hashtag, if you have a tweet that is more accurate and more adequately summarizes our podcast, please tweet it at us at Cut4. With the hashtag Cut4Cast. Spoiler alert, your tweet will be better than ours because all of ours were terrible and Ben's not even on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at Cut4. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Cut4. You can go to MLB.com/Cuts4 to read all of these articles and many, many, many more. Ben, do you have anything that you're working on that you're excited about?
Yeah.
You're fired. Gentlemen, do you have anything you're working on? Well, Ben, you have the You Be the Ump quiz. That's
yeah, that'll
up.
Be fun.
That should be exciting. Gemma, do you have anything
yeah.
you're excited about?
Well, you know, just keep an eye out around Oscar time. We all have some
Oh, I do have Oscar stuff coming
Oscar
out.
Oscar stuff. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was going to plug
Not
your
Not anymore
post.
You don't because you're fired.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. I'll
so
tweet about it.
So keep an eye out for it. It's all super weird and niche.
It is.
Not all super weird and niche.
Just want to say Ron Lester.
Ron Lester is a person. But yeah, MLB.com/cut4. You can read all of that. You can subscribe to this podcast if you just happen to stumble upon it at iTunes or anywhere that podcasts are sold. Please leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars, and write us a review. Helps other people find the show. And we would love for other people to find the show. Ben, thank you as always for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Gemma, thanks for filling in for me last week and taunting me.
Well, you know, it's clearly an unsuccessful coup, so.
Indeed it was. But mostly thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.